Hello everybody, it is my absolute privilege and pleasure to welcome you to the first SA Dropkicks Wrestling Podcast episode of 2022. I hope you have had an amazing festive season and that you are ready for the start of this incredible year. If you do happen to be listening for the first time, my name is KG Animo, and in this episode, my co-host Eugene and I are going to reflect on what has been an amazing yet crazy start to the year in professional wrestling. A week in, and we've already had 6 shows across multiple promotions in the world. And so with that being said, let's start with WWE's Day 1 pay-per-view, which featured some good moments as well as some not-so-good moments. If that sounds good to you, make sure you stick around because that's coming up next. So WWE decided that they were going to experiment with Saturday night pay-per-views. I don't know why. I think I still need to figure out why they've decided to go with the Saturday night pay-per-view. But on literally day one of the year, we got our first pay-per-view, and it's called Day One, actually. And we're gonna look at these matches. What did you think of the show overall, like as an overall card?
I enjoyed it. I was impressed, you know. I was impressed by the quality of matches, actually.
Okay. Yeah, I mean,
like you said, the reason why I felt like it was on the weekend, you know, was because the first day of the year was just happened to fall on a weekend.
Exactly.
I don't think there's much into it, you know.
Yeah. I think that's pretty much the whole reason behind the pay-per-view.
I was disappointed with one thing, though.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. We'll get to that. Let's go through each of these matches and discuss some of the moments from this pay-per-view. We'll start off with Sheamus and Ridge Holland versus Cesaro and Ricochet.
On the kickoff show, right?
Yeah, on the kickoff show. What did you think of this match? Because I, like...
Firstly, what...
Yeah, you were saying?
Oh, I was just saying that I first like to say it's unfortunate what happened to Ridge Holland.
Yeah, I mean... I tried to watch this match, but after the Ridge Holland freak accident, I just it's hard to watch the match after that, you know. That was crazy. Ridge Holland. So for those of you that did not see what happened, it was during this tag match, and basically, Ridge Holland is laying flat on the mat, and he's about to take this moonsault from Ricochet. Cesaro hooks Ricochet's leg. Ricochet rotates, and instead of landing on Holland's body, he lands with his feet, like his feet sort of scrape right across Ridge Holland's face. It's a nasty, nasty injury. Go watch the show. I mean, it was a horrible, horrible injury. And it was a complete accident, you know. Hopefully, Ridge Holland is doing well. We wish him a speedy recovery. And hopefully, he'll be back not too far from now. Very soon, hopefully. So, yeah, that's pretty much the moment I take from that match. I can't really remember anything else.
I agree with you. It was very hard to watch after the incident. I think it's a broken nose, right?
Yeah, it's a broken nose.
I think it's... You know what's funny about that? I don't know why it's funny to me. You remember Sheamus also had a broken nose?
Yes.
And now the same thing happened to Rich Holland, his protege, you know
what? Yeah, I mean, what can you say?
If you look at it like that, it makes sense.
Yeah, that's just a weird coincidence, but I mean... I know they're gonna write it into the story, just like they do with the Sheamus broken nose, because I'm pretty sure Sheamus had a broken nose for like most of 2021. Like, even when it wasn't actually broken, they still had him wrestle with that face cover thing, and they still
wasn't it Ricochet that also broke his nose?
I think it was Humberto Carrillo.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah,
Yeah, during one of their matches in the Thunderdome. Was it the Thunderdome or was it live on? Was it live? I'm not sure. But yeah, this match went what, 9 minutes? Maybe I think it was supposed to go longer, but at the end of the day, Sheamus and Ridge Holland defeated Cesaro and Ricochet. You know what's crazy about this match? Well, basically, this entire feud is Sheamus versus Cesaro, and I actually liked the Bar.
Yeah.
The Bar were an amazing, were a pretty great tag team. I liked the Bar. Why they split up, I will never know.
When did they split up again?
I can't even remember. Like, I know they held the tag team titles a few times, and then all of a sudden, they just split up. Like, I can't even remember. I'll have to go back and check what happened. But they... And basically, that's what this rivalry comes off of. Like, that's where this rivalry stems from. Where it's like, Ridge Holland, according to Sheamus, is a much better tag team partner than Cesaro, which I can't agree on. Like, let's be honest.
I don't think they even registered as a tag team yet.
No.
This was their first tag team match.
Yeah. And so I think it's not going to be... I don't think they're going to last long either. Like, these tag teams, these hodgepodge tag teams in WWE usually don't last long. But we'll just have to wait and see. As for Ricochet and Cesaro, I mean, what is more to say? Super talented guys. Hopefully they'll get an opportunity soon. Cesaro was supposed to get a push like late last year. I don't know what happened to that push. He just lost the Universal Championship match to Roman Reigns, and then all of a sudden, like, that momentum just dropped.
Then he got in a feud with Seth Rollins, right?
Yeah, he had that Seth Rollins match at WrestleMania, which was a decent match, but you knew they could have gone longer. And then he had another match with Seth Rollins, and but if you think about it, Seth Rollins since then has been going up. Seth Rollins, after the feud with Cesaro, started a feud with Edge, and then was in the main event picture, and then had a brilliant match with Edge, and now is in the WWE Championship mix. So that's it. Like, it just shows you who WWE's management or creative are really focused on, right? It's like Cesaro.
The pecking order.
Yeah, it just shows you the pecking order in WWE, and that's a shame, because guys like Ricochet and Cesaro and Cedric Alexander, and even some of the guys that got released, like, so talented, and this is how they're being treated. It's a shame, to be honest.
It is.
But let's not make this a horrible episode. Let's focus on positives, right? The next match on the show was actually the start of the show. We saw the Usos versus the New Day, two of the greatest tag teams in WWE history. They battled for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships in maybe the best match of the show. Well, second best match of the show.
Yeah.
It was a good match.
I think it's just impossible for them to have a bad match.
Yeah, I mean, the chemistry is there. You can definitely see the Usos and the New Day have a bit of chemistry. I will say, though, it's not their best match. For me...
Yeah, definitely it's not.
For me,
it's like average.
Yeah, it's a decent match. It got a few This Is Awesome chants, which, I mean, in WWE is like, oh, wow, you're really doing good if you're getting a This Is Awesome chant in the WWE. The Usos and the New Day, watching them... Knowing that this match is not going to be as good as their Hell in a Cell match from 2017. Like,
I don't think anything is going to top the match.
There's not a single WWE tag team main event match or a main roster tag match that's going to top that one. There hasn't been. Like, that match was amazing. That's all I can say about that. And so watching the New Day and Kofi Kingston, the New Day and the Usos, knowing that this match is not going to be as good as that one, it just takes me out of it a little bit.
But I don't know if you noticed, but the Usos did, like, they, you know how you have an arsenal
yeah.
in wrestling, right?
Yeah.
I I saw the Usos do things I haven't done before. Maybe just two moves, you know?
Yeah, there are a few. I did notice a few things. It's like, wait a minute, did Jimmy or Jay really do that? And yeah, it's, you know, trying to incorporate some new stuff, trying to make sure that, you know, your matches don't get that vibe where it's like it's one thing after another, and we've seen it before. And
the thing is with these two tag teams, that whatever they've done, like, we've already seen it before with them.
Exactly.
Like it's not the first time we've seen this.
Exactly. It's like, oh, I've seen this before. So, like, it's very difficult to, I mean, like, credit goes to them. They put on a very good match. It was a decent tag team match, but what haven't we seen? Like, what haven't we seen from these guys? And it's difficult when you've wrestled someone so many times, you have to keep coming up with new stuff. I think that's one of the most creatively challenging things for a pro wrestler, is to constantly come up with new things, new stories, new everything to keep expectations up and to keep things fresh.
Yeah, it's a very hard thing to do.
Yeah. I'm actually surprised this match went 17 minutes. So this is the second longest.
It to be longer.
I thought it was going to be shorter. Like, some of these tag team championship matches go at least between 12 and 15 minutes. So this one went 17 minutes. It's the second longest match on the show, which I was like, whoa, that's great. But yeah, I mean, the Usos ended up winning after 17 minutes. They are still the tag team champions on SmackDown, and we'll just have to see who they defend against on the road to WrestleMania.
Yeah, I don't know who it's going to be.
Yeah. The third match on the show, this may be a match that didn't need to be on the show. Like, we have Drew McIntyre versus Madcap Moss with Happy Corbin at ringside. This match could have just happened on SmackDown. Like, we did not, and we didn't this match happen on SmackDown, if I remember correctly?
No, that was a tag team.
Oh, that was a tag match. That was a tag team match. But again, this match could have happened on SmackDown. Did not need to be on the day one card. It's 10 minutes long. Drew McIntyre beats Madcap Moss. I mean, what can I say? Right?
Yeah, like, it's one of those filler matches.
Yeah, this is the kind of match that, I mean, this is the kind of match that you really just go to the bathroom and then come back and it's done. Why Drew McIntyre is in this spot, I have no idea. Like, why on earth is Drew McIntyre wrestling?
I can see them, like, maybe trying to build a feud between Corbin and Drew, you know?
Okay, that makes sense. But, like, anyway, that could happen. Corbin and Drew
They did attack him after the match.
Yeah, they had a they had that little segment after the match. Yeah. And apparently Drew McIntyre got attacked because he has some serious neck issues and is going to be off of TV for a while. So they did that to just write him off the story, to write him off of TV so we can go deal with these neck problems. And again, we wish Drew a speedy recovery. We hope everything is well. And hopefully he'll be back in time for WrestleMania. It doesn't look like the issues are too serious, but you know what happens when you have an injury and you just keep going and going and going.
That need to sort it out.
Yeah.
We don't want an edge situation.
No, we do not. So hopefully Drew retires and he's ready for WrestleMania. And yeah, that's all we're gonna say about this match. Unless you wanna say anything else.
Madcap Moss was like good, was decent, you know.
Yeah, he was decent. He's a good wrestler. He's a good wrestler. I saw some stuff that he did as Riddick Moss. He was Riddick Moss like before this, and he did some stuff in I think it was in NXT. He did a few things in NXT, and he wasn't bad. And so hopefully, you know, Madcap Moss, like, it's not like he's gonna be in the main event of WrestleMania or anything, but he's a good hand. If you need someone to put one of your stars over, then I'm pretty sure he's a pretty good pretty good person to do that. And I guess that's exactly what this match was, if we're being honest. Drew McIntyre just getting a win and getting written off TV so they can build this feud with Corbin.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
These jokes have to stop, though.
Oh, my goodness. These jokes. I was watching a few clips from the WWE live events, and boy, oh boy, they're doing these jokes during the live events, and it's just, oh, I don't even know what to say.
It's not landing.
No, just the jokes are not landing. The plane isn't landing. Like, this is not working. If this keeps up, we're going to have another gimmick. We're going to have another worst gimmick of the year for 2022.
It's starting strong. First week, it goes to them still.
First week in this still just giving us this garbage. Let's move on. I've had enough talk about Madcap Moss. The next match on this show, RK-Bro, Randy Orton, and Riddle defending the Raw Tag Team Championships against the Street Profits, Angelo Dawkins and Montez Ford.
With the Migos.
With the Migos at ringside. I legit popped. I got out of my seat when I saw Migos. I think they were on Raw before this, or...
No, they weren't.
They weren't on Raw. Okay, I'm getting all the stuff confused. So, they showed up, and I'm like... Because I saw that the theme song for day one was a Migos song. I forgot what the name of the song was. But they actually, one of those songs was actually the themes, the pay-per-view theme for day one. And so Migos were, you know, accompanying Randy Orton and Riddle to the ring for their entrance. It was a pretty cool entrance.
It was in their hometown.
Yeah, it was in their hometown.
It was at home.
And they had a pretty good entrance. And they got to sit ringside. And
it was
just
funny to watch, though.
Yeah, because I'm like there's this one moment where like they're into the ring and Riddle's like, get on the ropes, and they're having the little moment and they're standing on the ropes and they're greeting the crowd, and it's like
I don't know what to do.
Like, what is this? Like, this is so cringe. Like, if I'm Takeoff or Offset or Quavo just standing there going like, okay, what are we gonna do now? Like, these are wrestling fans. What do we say to these people?
Which is understandable, though.
It is. Yeah, but it was a decent match. The Street Profits look good, as always. I mean, like, the Street Profits gear was really cool. Like, the Street Profits looked pretty dope today, like, that night.
With the red.
Yeah, the red stuff. And I like the side of Montez Ford. You see Montez Ford getting a little bit angry, a little bit more aggressive. And like watching it at first glance, I was thinking, wait a minute, we could see a heel turn from these guys. Even Dawkins was a little bit more aggressive, staring at Migos, trying to...
They were giving it to the Migos, bro.
Yeah, they were like, you see what's going on here?
In your face.
Yeah, we're beating your boys. I think that was great character development there. We might be, if we see a heel turn, like, I'm predicting it right now, maybe not now, but like in the next few months, we might see a slow heel turn from the Street Profits. One of them, or both of them. As a tag team. You never know. I mean, they were the heels in this match, if we're quite honest. Cause Migos were like, RK-Bro were the ones with the special entrance. They got to hang out with Migos. They had Migos on their side. The Street Profits were the heels in this match, right? It wasn't exactly babyface versus babyface.
Yeah.
So.
You're right. Oh, Angelo Dawkins. Who's that? The other one.
Montez Ford, yeah.
That guy is so agile, bro. Oh my God.
Yeah. Montez is the definition of an athletic freak. The guy, I remember there was a, during the Crowdless era, during the Thunderdome era, he did this, there was a tag team match involving Seth Rollins and Andrade and everybody. And he did this sort of move to the outside. He dove over the top rope and landed on his back on the floor. Apparently, They messed up that spot. One of the guys was supposed to catch him. And so I don't know if you've seen it.
It's like it's remotely familiar.
Yeah. And I'm like, how did that guy survive? Like even just recently.
He's rubber, bro.
Yeah, even just recently we were talking about his frog splash and how it's like.
But he gets so much height.
How on earth do you get this much height on a frog splash? You know what I noticed is like Eddie Guerrero had a very good frog splash, but everyone that did it after him is either doing something is sort of better in one area than he was, right? Eddie had the perfect moonsault. He had the perfect height. He had the perfect form. He could get some distance. But every single person that did that frog splash after him is sort of improved on it. Like RVD has a beautiful frog splash.
Agree.
Yeah. Hiroshi Tanahashi has a decent frog splash. But for me, the man does a mid-air rotation on the frog splash.
He's turning. I'm like, you get height, plus you're changing direction.
Like, how do you land? How do you?
When he lands, he can do a handstand.
Yeah, crazy. Like, how are you landing a moon? Like, this guy is landing the frog splash, but he's changed direction so far that when he lands, he's actually looking back at the ring post from which he jumped.
And the distance which he can cover.
Exactly. I mean, it's insane. It's a shame we didn't get to see it. Yeah, you were. I'm saying it's a shame we didn't get to see it this time.
Yeah, that's true. But you know what we did see? We saw him dive and over the turnbuckle at the corner.
Yes, I saw that one. That was pretty. That was pretty insane as well. Yeah, just like
there were highlights in the matches from
highlight reel, human highlight reel, even the finish. The pop-up RKO. The pop-up RKO was pretty good. Yeah, again.
Do you think they planned it or did it just happen?
I really can't tell. I really don't know. I don't know. Maybe they rehearsed it a few times, but I don't think that much planning went into it. RK-Bro retained the tag titles. And in a match that you really feel like this match could have gone maybe a decent 15, 16 minutes. It went 11 minutes and 15 seconds, which, I mean, again, like they can go long. Just give them the time.
It's a lot to squeeze in.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff to squeeze in with these two when it comes to tag team wrestling. Up next is what many people will say is the best match of the show. Edge versus The Miz. With Maryse in the longest match of the show.
I know why people are gonna say it's awesome. I get why.
Yeah, I mean for me, oh man, I don't know. Hey, I mean Edge is great. Don't get me wrong. The Miz, when he tries, he can be very great as well. It's not like we knew. It's not like we didn't know who was winning this match. It's not like The Miz had a shot, had a chance of winning this match. Let's be honest, right? So
for me, the only way The Miz was maybe going to win was because of Maryse, you know.
Like, yeah.
He almost did when she slapped Edge, and then the skull crushing finale.
Yeah.
Yeah, I figured that may be the only way he could win.
That was a pretty good near fall. That was a good near. I didn't buy the false finish, but I was like, okay, this is a pretty good near fall. And then Beth Phoenix.
For me, what happened afterwards, it's priceless.
Beth Phoenix walks out.
Beth Phoenix looked more wild. How can I say, like, you know how Edge is so intense?
Yeah.
When it goes to the ring?
Exactly.
Beth Phoenix look more intense than that, bro.
She's the glamazon.
I'm gonna rip your head off.
Bro, do you see how scared Maryse was, though?
Do you see the Miz?
Miz
is like, oh no.
Miz is like, oh no. No.
And then you just see him freeze.
Miz froze.
And then he tells Maryse, yo, turn around.
We gotta get out of here.
And then you just see them in bed space, like, girl.
Yeah. And, I mean, Edge hit a spear, and then that was it. 1, 2, 3. Edge wins. 20 minutes this match. 20 whole minutes.
Was it 20 minutes?
It was 20 minutes.
This is one of those matches that didn't need to go that long.
It did not need to go this long.
But I feel they're not done, though. They're not done.
They're not done? Yeah, because on Raw, they announced the Edge... Okay. You don't watch Raw. Okay, that's cool. I'll leave it unspoiled then. But
Yeah, please.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, remember the time where Maryse and Miz had a feud going with John Cena and Brie?
Yeah, and Nikki Bella, I remember that.
Yeah. I feel like this is similar to that.
Yeah, especially heading towards WrestleMania. I think that's exactly what we're gonna see.
WrestleMania's fall, though. It's in April.
Okay, maybe not. You never know.
Maybe Royal Rumble.
Let me not spoil things for you. Anyway, let's move on to the next match on the show. This match, like, if there's one moment, so the next two matches leave me pissed. Like, these next two matches honestly leave me absolutely. Oh, man. Absolutely pissed. Becky Lynch defending the Raw Women's Championship against Liv Morgan. And yet again, Liv Morgan gets the rug pulled out from underneath her. She was this close to achieving her life's dream. She was this close. How many times is Liv Morgan going to fail? Like, you realize the crowd was behind Liv Morgan the entire way through.
They've been hurt. She fought Becky, bro.
Exactly.
Ever since they learned that she's going up against Becky, but they've been behind her.
Exactly. Like, WWE does this bait and switch thing where it's like they make us believe that we're gonna get what we want, and then they just switch up on us, and it's like, what just happened?
For me, like, Becky's not gonna lose the title anytime soon because remember how she basically didn't lose the title the first time.
She did not lose it.
So for me, they want to give her the title run that she deserved.
Oh, okay. I can maybe see where you're going. So it's sort of like, hey, you were pregnant, you took 9 months off. Let's give you the title run. Let's basically rehash 2020, right? When was it that she gave away the title? Yeah, she gave away the title after the 2020 Money in the Bank pay-per-view. And so I guess I can see the reasoning behind Becky still holding that Raw Women's Championship. But Liv Morgan is, I won't say she's over, but, like, the crowd are behind her. That's, like, they're behind her.
I'm behind her.
I'm behind her, too, you know what I mean? And so, hopefully she gets a title win at WrestleMania. Maybe she wins the Women's Royal Rumble.
Oh, that's a good shout, you know.
Yeah, there are a lot of good shouts for this year's men's and women's Rumble matches. I'm not gonna lie. Looking very interesting heading towards that pay-per-view. And yeah, hopefully we see some new stars created. What needs to happen at the Royal Rumble heading into WrestleMania, I do not want to see anyone win the Royal Rumble. Or anyone that has won the Royal Rumble, win it again. Like, if you've won the Royal Rumble, sorry. Tonight's not your... Like, this year's not your year. I want to see a Royal Rumble winner who has never won it before. I want to see new stars created. You know what I mean?
Rhea Ripley hasn't won it, son.
Ripley hasn't won it. Naomi hasn't won it. Baszler hasn't won it. Liv Morgan hasn't won it. You know... We need to see some new faces at that main event spot. Doudrop hasn't won it. I was about to say Toni Storm hasn't won it, but Toni Storm is gone.
Yeah, that's a different story.
Yeah, I did not see that coming. I'm not gonna lie. I did not see
But I respect her. I respect her though. I respect her.
Yeah, you got her. She saw that, you know, her future in the company wasn't very bright, and she's like, "Nah, I'm out of here." And honestly, if I'm Tony Storm, I'm going back. I'm going to Stardom. I'm going back to Stardom because the Stardom right now is on fire. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't mean to go off track, but where is Oscar? You know, is she at Stardom or something?
No, Oscar is still signed with WWE.
She's been off TV.
She's been.
She's been off TV.
Like, what is she doing? I think she might. I like at one point assumed maybe she was pregnant. I'm guessing she might come back at the Royal Rumble, but here's the like. Just imagine, 5 seconds left. Number 30 is about to come out. 4, 3, 2, 1, and Asuka walks out. I think that'll be a proper Rumble moment.
Like if she comes out last.
If she comes out at number 30, she doesn't have to win the thing, because then again, won it for the second time. But like if she comes out at number 30 and wins the and sort of has a good match, then like that'll be a pretty good moment for Asuka to come back and win back. I don't want to say win the Royal Rumble, because I want someone new heading to WrestleMania. But if I'm honest about it, I wouldn't mind Asuka winning the Royal Rumble again.
Yeah, then I feel like if she wins it, right, she can go on to face Becky, because Becky handed the title to her. She didn't lose it to her, you know.
Oh, so okay.
They can fight it, and that way, that's maybe the way Becky can lose the title for real this time, you know?
Yeah, I get it. You know who I was also thinking about?
Who?
Ronda Rousey.
I guess she's training, but no. Like, she can come back. She doesn't have to win it.
Yeah, she could come back, and she could... The thing with Ronda is, you can't put her anywhere else but the main event. That's the thing. You cannot put her anywhere else but the main event.
She's been there, though.
Yeah, but so she's Ronda Rousey.
I hear you, though. Yeah, it's the same thing with Brock Lesnar, which we'll talk about at the next match.
Yeah, let's move on to Brock Lesnar. So we have a fatal four-way, which was Big E defending the WWE Championship against Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins, and Bobby Lashley. And then we, like, literally at the start of the show, we get told Roman Reigns has contracted COVID-19 and he can't defend the title. So Brock Lesnar gets added to the fatal four-way. It's now a fatal five-way. And like I love Pat McAfee's reaction. I love Pat McAfee's reaction. So Michael Cole announces that Roman Reigns can't compete tonight. He's got COVID. And Pat McAfee's like, that son of a bitch, COVID. Oh man. I don't know if you saw that part of the show.
No, I did.
Oh. Like you can just tell Pat is so. Like, he's all of us at this point. He is all of us at that point. He's like, oh, COVID stopped Roman Reigns from defending that championship. Oh, I hate COVID. And then...
Yeah, okay, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
How did you feel first when you heard that Roman had COVID and wouldn't be able to fight? And secondly, when Brock Lesnar was added to the fatal four way, now making it a fatal five way.
I thought Brock Lesnar getting added to the match was amazing. I was disappointed that we didn't see Roman Reigns, but I was like, Brock Lesnar getting added to this match would be great if he doesn't win. If he doesn't win, he just comes in, wrecks everyone, and doesn't get pinned, right? Because I'm thinking, okay, they're not going to bring Brock Lesnar to the day one pay-per-view and then find out that his opponent is not there. And then all of a sudden, Lesnar's sitting in the back with no opponent, with nothing to do during the show. They were never going to do that, right? You can't bring Brock Lesnar to work. You can't ask Brock Lesnar to show up to a pay-per-view and then, like, he does nothing. So I understand why he was added to the match. But for him to win...
That what pisses you off.
For him to win, that was a punch in the gut, I'm not gonna lie. Like, I love Brock Lesnar. I love his new character. I love the fact that he's a babyface. I'm not gonna spoil Monday Night Raw for you. You'll have to see what happens on Monday Night Raw. Involving someone, a very special someone. Brock Lesnar shows up, and this match, again, you could have taken 5 minutes off of the Becky Lynch match and added it to this match. It was a very good match, but it was 8 minutes.
Bro, everything happened in the space of 8 minutes. It was chaotic.
It was chaotic. Even the way it started. It was exactly the way a Fatal 5-Way should be. It was chaotic. It was.
And I love it.
But it was 8 minutes. And not only was it 8 minutes, Brock Lesnar won. And not only did Brock Lesnar win, he pinned the former champion Big E. He pinned Big E. He did not have to pin.
Before?
Yeah, you.
Yeah, I didn't have to.
He did not have to pin Big E, man. He could have pinned.
I
don't know.
He could have pinned. You know what? You know, you watch the entrances when the wrestlers come in, right?
Yeah, I watch the entrances.
Do you pay attention to the order?
I do, actually. I do honestly pay attention to. I saw that Big E came. Big E, the champion, came out before Lesnar.
I was about to say that. I'm like, how is your WWE champion coming out second last?
But then again, Roman Reigns at Crown Jewel, Roman Reigns came out first. Roman really? Reigns came out first at Crown Jewel.
If you notice,
The Undertaker throughout most of his career came out second, whether it was a title match, whether it was a random match on SmackDown or WrestleMania main event, The Undertaker came out second, and that for me was the only exception.
Because you saw how long his entrance song though, like
that was
very long. So
that was my only. Yeah, that was my only exception. It's like The Undertaker's the only wrestler that can come out last because he's The Undertaker. But I'm
apparently
like,
Brock Lesnar can too.
Brock Lesnar can. And it's like, why? What is, like, when he's champion, you understand. For me, like, the biggest things, this is one of the reasons I love Japanese pro wrestling is, like, I love New Japan and Pro Wrestling Noah and All Japan. It's like, even AEW is also guilty of this sometimes, where they have the wrestler come out first. But like, even in AEW, the champion walks out last, right? In New Japan, the champion walks out last. I don't know. I think the only reason that would let me, the only reason I would allow the champion to walk out first is if he's got a surprise opponent.
Or if it's an open challenge,
an open challenge, then I can understand why the champion needs to walk out first. Like John Cena, John Cena walks out first. Like he walked out first for like during his US Open challenge thing, and it was so interesting.
Yeah, but I don't like it. Like you can't the WWE champion, bro. Not like the US or Intercontinental the tag team. This is. One of the biggest titles.
The biggest title in the company. In the main event. I mean.
In the main event. And you're making it come second last.
Dude. Like.
Are they trying to say that Brock Lesnar is bigger than the title?
I guess. I guess. That's what it is. Like, I don't like when the pecking order is so bloody obvious. When you can tell who the company is backing and who you can tell that the company has no future for. Right? I'll accept it this time. Because, like, so what happens to Big E? Right? Because apparently, according to the Wrestling Observer and according to other sources, if Roman Reigns hadn't gotten COVID, Big E would have retained the WWE Championship.
Oh, 100, right? I believe that.
So
I believe that was going to be the case.
We'll have to see what happens.
Would have Brock Lesnar beaten Roman Reigns?
Ooh. No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
See, just questions now. Just left with questions.
Yeah, I don't think Lesnar would have won the Universal Championship had Roman Reigns showed up. But it's just one of those questions we'll have to see. Well, like, I'll let you go and watch Raw, and then we can talk about this at another time.
Yeah, of course. Let's talk about the match in detail.
Yeah, I mean, so first things first. There's one spot in particular.
I'm loving Kevin Owens.
Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins are buddy buddy. We're gonna work together. We're gonna we're gonna get rid of all these guys, and we're gonna fight it amongst ourselves. And it's so Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins made a deal where it's like, either you win or I win. And if I help you win, you give me the title match at WrestleMania, and vice versa. And that backfired.
Yeah, because Brock got thrown into the match.
Because Brock Lesnar got put through a table, got speared through a barricade, then got put through a table, and then...
No, that wasn't him. Oh, that was Bobby Lashley.
So Brock Lesnar... No, Lashley spears Lesnar through the barricade, and then Owens and Rollins put him through the table, and all of a sudden, both men come back in the ring. Lashley comes back in the ring, spears Owens, spears... Big E, spears Seth Rollins, and then looks and sees Brock Lesnar.
Oh, bro.
And I'm like,
God, these guys are gonna have one of the best feuds of the year.
Yeah,
they're gonna have one of the best feuds of the year.
Yeah, it's kind of sad you didn't watch Raw, because then you were gonna see what's gonna happen. You're gonna see what's happening at the Royal Rumble. I'm so excited for this. I was even like tempted to tweet about it this morning, but I thought maybe you didn't watch Raw, so I don't want you to see that tweet and have everything spoiled. But
I have it stored. I'm gonna watch it. Don't worry.
Yeah. Really interesting developments going on here in the big dub, and yeah, I think
that. Do you see the finish to that match?
Yeah, I did. Oh man!
Just came in.
Bust through. You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of the finish to the triple threat in 2015. It was Lesnar, Cena, and Rollins for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship at, I think it was the Royal Rumble in 2015. And Cena and Rollins put Lesnar through the table. They bury him with like Lesnar is done, and then Cena and Rollins just fight it out for the next couple of minutes. And then right at the finish, Brock Lesnar like rises up from the table, suplexes everyone, F5, takes the WWE, retains the championship. This is what that reminded me of. Like that's what this reminded me of. And I was like, whoa. Like this is how Brock Lesnar wins now.
You know, I thought that Big E would have like, I would have been more satisfied with the ending of the match if Big E maybe hit him with the big ending and then he kicked out and then he hit Big E with the F5, you know? But
yeah.
Big E tried it, it didn't work, hit him with the F5 and that's all she wrote. I would have been more satisfied if it was like how I said it.
Yeah, I think, so what happens to Big E now? I hope they don't do what they did with Kofi Kingston. Like, do not drop Big E down the card. Please do not drop Big E. Big E, oh man.
If you can tell me what would you do with Big E right now? What would you do?
I would have, you know, honestly, I would have E win the Rumble. I think that's how we get this match. That's how we keep the spotlight on Big E.
I feel like Big E is going to be like where Damian Priest is now. Going to be on that card level.
Yeah, he needs to take that Intercontinental Championship. I love Shinsuke, but even I don't know what he's doing with that title.
Where is Big E going to go now? Is he going to... Did he stay on Raw or is he going on SmackDown?
I forgot that this title is on SmackDown. Maybe enter a feud with Damian Priest. But again, babyface versus babyface doesn't really work. Especially in WWE. I really don't know.
Yeah, so I have no idea what they're going to do with Big E right now.
Yeah.
Because for like they take the title off him, which I'm like, why? How long did he have the title for?
Oh, I can't remember.
When did he cash it in? Like, I know it was on Raw.
It was on Raw. Was it October? September, I
I
think.
really can't tell. Really can't tell.
Let me have a look here. This is let me ask Google.
Yeah, but I don't like the fact that they took it off him
Yeah,
so
neither do
soon.
I, man. Neither do I think so it was in September. It was September the 13th that he won the title from Bobby Lashley on Monday Night Raw. It was an amazing moment. Massive, massive moment. For someone who had just been working and working for so long. And now he's back down the card, right?
I guess like maybe he'll accept this. No, maybe he just wanted the title, you know. Didn't matter how long he had it for. Maybe he just wanted it and maybe he's okay with this. Maybe. I didn't say is maybe.
Nah, I'm gonna say it right now. He needs to win the Royal Rumble match. That's me putting it. That's me just saying it so that when he does, or well, I'm not that confident, but if he does, I want it known that I said Big E will win the Royal Rumble match. And you know why? 'Cause like what else is there for him to do?
The New Day on SmackDown.
The New Day are on SmackDown. Like they separated them simply because Big E was on a title run. That's the reason they got separated.
Maybe he'll be in the same position as Seth Rollins.
Yeah, I mean that upper mid card is looking pretty strong right now on Monday Night Raw. And so yeah, I think we can end things there. I mean, there's a lot more to talk about, obviously, but I think we'll end things there for today and just try and figure out.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year,
Yeah,
guys.
Happy New Year to every single one of you listening. It's been an incredible festive season for us. We've really had a great collection of wrestling shows and wrestling events to look forward to, and we hope that continues throughout the year. Ladies and gentlemen, that is going to wrap up today's episode. We hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, make sure you stick around as we'll be bringing tons more episodes throughout the course of 2022. If you'd like to follow us on social media, you can do so on Instagram at Dropkicks Wrestling Podcast or on Twitter at Dropkicks_SA. As always, let us know what you thought of the show, about the matches, about where WWE is headed towards in this WrestleMania season, and maybe an opinion of ours that you might disagree with, or maybe something we forgot to mention. As always, DM us on Instagram, tweet at us, and let's talk about it. Till next time, stay safe and God bless.